for the mission of Srila Prabhupada and how we can be an integral part of that mission and make a difference in spreading Krishna consciousness in the world. Indradyumna Maharaj ki
jai.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hari Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Hari
Krishna
Hari Krishna
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 Hari
Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Sivasati, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Sri Ram Nomi Ki. So, today we were hearing this morning from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, the last 2 days, 4 hours of the deep, intimate, loving relationships between Ram, his devotees, and between the devotees and the devotees. So sweet, so deep, so full of transcendental lessons for all of us, and so charming to the heart. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti hidkarna rasayana kata. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it's mentioned that the glories of the Lord spoken by the great souls are rasayana kata, sweet to the heart, sweet to the ear. And then we lose, automatically we lose our attraction for mundane topics, mundane talks, mundane thoughts, mundane activities. Once the heart becomes touched by the transcendental sweetness of the pastimes of the Lord, which is really the essence of the past process of purification of the heart and bringing joy. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant to bring joy to the heart, meant to bring satisfaction to the mind, meant to bring fearlessness in our life when we face whatever we have to face in our day-to-day life in this world. So we want to go on hearing as much as possible. I was thinking what to speak about. There's so much to speak about. But as it's mentioned in the Nectar of Instructions, that the loving exchanges between the devotees are the essence of the relationships between the devotees. To speak about the Lord, to hear the Lord's glories. to give gifts, and to receive gifts from others, and to give Krishna Prasadam, to give Prasadam of the Lord to others, and to receive that Prasadam is the six loving exchanges between the devotees and the devotees. And Prabhupada says in that purport in the Nectar of Instructions, fourth verse, he says that this is what is sustaining our movement, these loving exchanges. And as we hear the loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees, between the Lord and his transcendental consorts, Galakshmi, the goddess of fortune, Mother Sita, Sri Hanumanji, Lakshman, and all the other devotees, we get a little glimpse of what is real life, life of sacrifice for the pleasure of others, to bring happiness to others, to bring peace of mind to the world, and to actually experience our own true loving nature, which is in our own heart. After the whole scenario was over, and Sita had been, what we said, vindicated, and someone had been freed from the criticism that she somehow or other became contaminated by Ram, as we heard from Indrajumna Maharaj. He couldn't touch, Ravana couldn't touch the goddess of fortune, Sita. And Prabhupada also says that transcendence cannot be touched by materialism. Although it appears from our vision, as we hear how Ravana disguised himself as a sannyasi, not just a disguise, but he came as the most trusted of all the ashrams, a sannyasi, to beg a little bit of food in need. Sita was left alone, because Ravana had this plan to capture Sita. And we heard this yesterday and also this morning how Radhanath Maharaj narrated that wonderful pastime. How Ram, when he was only 16 years old, he killed two powerful demons, Subahu and Maricha. Now he killed one, Subahu, but Maricha, he knocked him 800 miles into the ocean by shooting an arrow into his chest. And when Ravana heard from his sister Suparnika the beauty of Sita, his mind became so overwhelmed with lust that he couldn't think of anything else but to satisfy his lust in the form of having her as his wife. Of course, we also heard how lust, it destroys all good reasoning. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, or actually Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita explains, he asks, what causes a person to act against his will, even though he knows it's wrong? She knows it's wrong. I know I'm wrong. I say things and I know this is wrong. I do things and I will get a reaction for that, but still I can't help it. One is impelled by this force, and what is that force? Lust. And Krishna explains that lust sits in the mind, the intelligence, and the senses, and it's the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So Ravana is a personification of that. And of course, in this material world, everyone has these little Ravanas running around in their life to some degree or other. That lust, whatever degree it's there, is actually Ravana inside of our minds, inside of our hearts. So when Ravana heard about the beauty of Sita, he became overwhelmed. He approached Maricha. Maricha had retired. He was a retired demon. He said, no more, I'm on the unemployment line. No more of this demon stuff. After meeting Ram's arrow, he thought, this is it. In fact, he was so frightened of Ram that if anybody would speak and they would use a word starting with R, he would just go into shock. So after hearing from Suparnika, who was really angry, you all know the story, how she, her nose was cut off, her ears were cut off by Lakshman. And she was a mess. And she came running to her brother afterwards and explained. She wanted revenge. So, of course, and she enticed her brother through describing this beautiful was actually the goddess of fortune, Sita, consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Ravana's lust just reached, you know, all the way up. And then he went to Maricha, who was just, you know, he didn't want anything to do with demoniac life anymore. He was just, he actually became a good demon. We say that. And he said to him, I have some service for you. He said, what is that? He said, he described what he wanted, Sita. And he said, I need your help. And then when he mentioned the name Ram, Maricha said, forget it. This Ram, he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He actually experienced that. But Ravana didn't want to hear anything. So when Ravana was persistent, he said to Maricha, I have a plan, I need you. And Maricha said, forget it. And he said, if you don't, I'm going to kill you. And then Maricha was thinking, I'm going to die anyway. I'll either die by Ram's arrows or I'll die by yours. So I better die by Ram. It's actually, I'll get much better benediction that way. He had some sense after coming in contact with the first arrow of the Lord. He was somewhat purified from that. And so finally he agreed. And they had been in Chitrakoot. They were 13 years in the forest. There was only 1 year left. And Maricha took the form of this beautiful, unusual living entity, a deer that was golden in color and somewhat, what we say, lustrous. The beautiful jewels and diamonds that were sparkling all over its body. And he just paraded in front of Sita. Ram was there, Lakshman was there. And when Sita saw the deer, she said, oh, Ram, look at this beautiful deer. We only have 1 year left. Let's capture this deer and we can take it back to Ayodhya when we go back. You know, Ram wants to satisfy Sita. That's the business of a husband, to satisfy the desires of the wife, correct? Nobody's agreeing right or wrong. Anyway, that's in principle, that's true. In principle, it is actually true. But within the certain range of what we say, requirement. And so she was persistent. And Ram was a little indifferent. And Lakshman, when he saw the deer, he was thinking, what is this? This is not someone under the 8,400,000 species. I never saw anything like this before. This is not a real deer. But Sita's, what we say, persistent, and Ram's commitment to her desires, he said, all right. And then the deer ran into the forest really fast. And she said, oh, Ram, go catch it. So Ram said to Lakshman, I'll go. But you stay here and you guard her. And don't leave her under any condition. I'll be back. So he followed the deer into the forest. And something really unusual happened. Now, we understand Mother Sita is the goddess of fortune. She has a pure heart. And she's, what we say, completely dedicated to Ram. She started to speak something that didn't make any sense at all, according to her own nature and her own, what we say, position. After being there for some time, then Ram was actually catching up to this deer. And then he realized it wasn't a real deer, it was a demon. So he took an arrow and shot the deer. And the deer immediately, after being hit with the arrow, started to call out Lakshman's name in the perfect voice of Ram. Lakshman, help! Lakshman, help! So perfectly that it was heard by Sita and Lakshman. Lakshman understood there's no need for me to go help because he could take care of himself. But Sita was somewhat moved by that voice and she said to Lakshman, go help your brother. He said, he's okay. He can take care of himself. I'm here to protect you. It's dangerous here. If I leave you, never, who knows what will happen. want to hear it. Then, in order to encourage Laxman, but in her encouragement was not like the unusual encouragement, she started to accuse Laxman of wanting to be with her. She said, "Now I understand everything. You simply want to be with me." Now, Laxman, he was so dedicated to Ram and Sita that even when he was with them, he treated Sita as his own mother. He never even looked at her. He would always, when he would speak to her, he would speak with great reverence and affection and what we say honor, and he never looked above her feet. Now he's being accused of wanting to replace Ram. Whoa. Laxman was angry. But what could he do? She was persistent. He said, "All right, I'll go. But I know when I go, you're not going to be back. But in order to protect you," he took his bow out and he drew a circle. And it was a vyuha. He said, "You stay within that vyuha. And don't go out of that. This will protect you. I'll be back." And he left. As soon as he left, Ravana came in a disguise. And he was like, "Oh," he saw Sita. He said, "Oh, mother, I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten for days. I can't even move." She said, "Oh, okay. Well, here, take some fruits. I have some fruits." He said, "I can't walk." See, this idea of lusty desires, one will use any means to fulfill that. The intelligence gets destroyed, or good intelligence gets destroyed, by what we say, the desire to enjoy something that is not meant to be enjoyed. The living entity in this world is not meant to enjoy this world. This world is simply a place where we take what Krishna has given us and we use it for his service. We take what we need to keep body and soul together according to our situation. And we use everything for the service of the Lord. Enjoyment, real enjoyment, as we've heard many times before, is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by using what he's given us, whether it's our body, our mind, our intelligence, our words, our possessions, whatever we have in his service. That is the happiness that we can experience. The happiness that senses come in contact with the object of the senses, Krishna says in the Gita, are simply causes of suffering. Why? Because they are... we cannot enjoy these things because that is not our nature. The senses cannot enjoy sense objects. Krishna says, therefore, one who is actually intelligent does not engage in such activities. So Ravana, he used various tricky words. And finally, Sita, he played on her compassion, on her sensitivity to someone else's suffering. And she stepped out of the vyuha. She made a mistake. And then Ravana took the advantage and he captured her. So another, we might use a little example. As long as we stay, we say, fixed or focused on our devotional life, we might experience as challenges, sometimes difficulties, but we'll never be captured by what we say, illusion or maya. Sita failed, at least it seems like she failed to follow the proper path of Dharma. She acted in a sentimental way, but without proper intelligence. And then, of course, Ravana captured her. But Ravana never touched the real Sita, as Maharaj was saying earlier in his lecture, that fire god provided what was called the Maya Sita, who was Padmavati. And that's another story, how Padmavati actually became the Maya Sita. But the Ramayana is filled. And then, of course, after some time, when Ram came back And he realized when Lakshman came to the forest, he was shocked. He had left Sita. Let's run back. They went back fast and she was gone. And Lakshman was again being chastised. He was chastised for not going, and then he was chastised for going. You ever have that experience? You want to do the right thing, and you try to do the right thing, and nobody appreciates it, or it turns out not to be the right thing. But it's not so much that. In this case, Lakshman, what could he say? It was his older brother. That's why sometimes we say that when the Lord appeared again in his later leelas as Krishna, Lakshman was, of course, none different than Balaram. And again, Gaur Nittai, Nityananda, is none different than Lakshman. Lakshman, or when we say Nityananda and Balaram, became the older brother. And so the older brother can decide whether to follow or not. He doesn't have to listen in that sense. So Lakshman was always put into many difficult circumstances like that. Later on, when they were back in Ayodhya, and Ram was king, and everything was again peaceful, or seemingly peaceful, Sita was there. Some of the monkey soldiers also came back. Ram was walking through the kingdom one day and he heard some person criticizing his wife. He was chastising his wife. Where were you last night? You were out all night. I don't even know where you were. He said, I'm not going to take you back. You have somewhat violated proper chastity. I'm not like Ram who took Sita back even though she was with another person. Oh, when Ram heard that, he was so concerned. Now I'm being criticized. So he was thinking, at least this is the external manifestation of this. He was thinking, I come to teach what it means to be an ideal leader. And an ideal leader is above suspicion. Even if one is suspicious, one has to prove that they're not. Even Krishna, the story of the Shyamantaka jewel, when the Shyamantaka jewel was given by Satyajit to his brother Prashena, and then Prashena was killed by a lion and the jewel was missing, Krishna was accused of killing Prashena because he had asked Satyajit for the jewel earlier and Satyajit said, no, I'm going to keep it. He refused Krishna's request. So everyone blamed Krishna for killing Prashena. And Krishna had to vindicate himself by finding that jewel and bringing it back, which he did. So sometimes even the Supreme Personality of Godhead is misunderstood, a lot of times misunderstood, what to speak of us. And so in this pastime, Brahm was thinking, okay, now I've come here to teach Dharma, now I'm being accused of adharma, what to do. So he called Lakshman aside. Actually, it's interesting to know that person who was criticizing his wife was the person who later on in Krishna Leela took birth as the washerman that was killed by Krishna when he went into Mathura. Interesting. He wasn't such a good person, obviously. And he came and later he was actually killed by Krishna when he refused to give Krishna the clothes of the king when Krishna asked for it. So, in this particular pastime, Ram called Lakshman aside. He said, Sita has to leave. Now, when Lakshman heard that, he was brokenhearted. I mean, Ram had gone through such an endeavor. Before, when Sita was first stolen and no one could find her, and when the devotees, when Ram met the monkey soldiers, they were sending out monkey soldiers in different directions to find Sita. And then that was the same time during the Chaturmasya. And what did Ram do? He was lamenting deeply with great feeling for the separation of Sita. His heart was overwhelmed with agony of separation. And there's a beautiful place somewhere in the area of Chitrakoot where there's a cave. And in that cave, there's a deity of Ram. And that deity is sitting down, and in his right hand, he has beads, chanting beads. In his left hand, he has his hand over his heart. And the pastime is that Ram, for 4 months, was lamenting the separation of Sita. And he was chanting her name, thinking about her in separation. So how deep is the love between the Lord and his devotees? Sometimes we say, sometimes Prabhupada says, for Ram, he could have produced so many Sitas. Why was he so much concerned with this particular Sita? Because she is actually none different than the goddess of fortune. And their love is eternal. And so when he decided later on to send her away to the ashram of Valmiki Muni, it was a great pain in his own heart. But in order to keep his reputation, that was one of the reasons. That was the external reason. The other reason was to increase the loving of separation. We were talking about this earlier today, how love and separation is actually even more powerful, and in one sense even more satisfying to the mind and heart than love. That is, when the lover and the beloved are together. Because the intensification of that love in separation, the desire again to be together, causes those each person to think only about that person and to speak only about that person and to mold their life simply about again coming back to meeting that person. So that love actually produces such happiness, although it appears as external misery or anxiety, lamentation. In the material world, when people have a loving relationship with each other and they're separated, for some time there may be, of course under certain circumstances, there may be that love that increases through separation. But after, as time goes on, it's lost. And people think, what about me? I can't go on like this. I have to find something else. And they lose, because in the material world, love is not present. Love is simply the mood of wanting to please the object of love. That is love. Love is not selfish. In fact, love begins where sacrifice begins. Without sacrifice for the beloved, there's no real sense of love. And we see how much Ram had to sacrifice in order to show, and how much Sita had to sacrifice in order to show her love, her faithfulness. Faithfulness is also an element of that love. During that time, she was away from Ram for 10 months. She never even thought of anything but Ram. We know the story when Hanuman came, and Hanuman found her in the Ashoka Grove, and he was ready to take her back to Ram. It would have been easy for him to take her back. But she said, no, I can't touch another man. I have dedicated my life. But please call Ram and have him come. So that was the power of her chastity and faithfulness. And under no other circumstances, nothing else mattered. But knowing that Ram's love for her would actually unite them again. And after going through this whole thing, at the end, he sends her away to the ashram of Valmiki Muni because of apparently some person's wrong criticism. The criticism was not even right. It was wrong because Sita never deviated even a second within her mind or heart away from the love of Ram, not even for an iota of a second. But no one could understand that except Ram. But still, wanting to teach the ideal king, that a king should be above suspicion, he banished her. This was the external reason, of course. And when he asked, he said to Lakshman, get the chariot and tell Sita you're going on a trip and take her to the... And he didn't want her to know that actually he was sending her away. But Lakshman knew it. And Lakshman didn't want to do it. His happiness was to see them both together in loving relationship. But he did it. And while he was doing it, he was driving that chariot, and it's explained that his heart was so broken that it showed on his face his unhappiness. And Sita kept asking him, where are we going? And Lakshman, why are you crying? Why are you all so unhappy? Lakshman couldn't answer. He wanted to satisfy Ram, but at the same time his heart was broken knowing that Sita and Ram would never be together again. So sometimes devotional service is not so easy. A lot of times it's not easy. As we heard from Indrajumna Maharaj, the stories of preaching. Prabhupada said, preaching, thankless task. A thankless task. Why? Because people really don't want it. Although they need it, they don't want it. So sometimes even, as Prabhupada says, a mother will have a baby, and the baby will be kicking the mother, but the mother is still loving the baby completely, despite the baby not appreciating the mother's love or responding by kicking the mother. So sometimes preaching is like that. Many times that people will acknowledge, but not really appreciate, or even what we say, follow. So it's a thankless task. And at the end of the whole thing, and when Hanuman, when he hears these stories, his heart becomes unhappy. But it's at the same time he's experiencing happiness. This is the interesting thing about devotional life, or about spiritual sentiment, that spiritual unhappiness is another form of happiness. Prabhupada says that when we lament about the condition of the fallen souls, or we lament about our inability to serve the Lord to our capacity, he said that lamentation is actually bhakti. He says when you get to that stage of bhakti, you know your bhakti is developing really nicely. When you're feeling anxiety and lamentation due to your efforts to serve, and you feel unhappy because you cannot serve better, or you cannot serve more effectively, or even if your service is not being appreciated by some, still, it's another form of transcendental happiness. But I wanted to make one point, which is really so sweet, that after everything was over, this is going back a little bit, and everyone was returning to Ayodhya, and all the citizens were there to greet Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and some of the monkey soldiers like Sugriva and Angada and some and others. When they got to the city, and it was a grand celebration welcoming them back after 14 years, everyone was so overjoyed that he has now returned, and our life has returned. Sita, she had this very valuable necklace that she was wearing that was given to her by Ram. And Hanuman, how much he sacrificed. We hear how he jumped across the ocean, how he was tied up by Indrajit, his tail was set on fire, and how he, you know, destroyed the city. So much sacrifice that Hanuman went to help to unite Sita and Ram, to destroy Ravana. Sita in her heart, she was very much appreciating that. And this is another quality that Prabhupada talks about, to appreciate another person's service. Sometimes we want our service to be appreciated. And when we feel that our service is appreciated by others, we feel a sense of satisfaction. But that's nice. That is not against the principles. But to appreciate another person's service and to reciprocate that service by showing that appreciation in one sense is actually a devoting. So Sita, within her heart, she had so much, what we say, gratitude and appreciation for what Hanuman did, that she had this necklace and she took it off. And then she looked at Ram. I want to give this to Hanuman as a gift. And Ram acknowledged her desire. And then she arranged for Hanuman to receive that necklace. And Hanuman was very much happy to receive it. She was so appreciative of his service. So this is, again, one of the six loving exchanges. We mentioned this earlier between devotees. How devotees give gifts to others and how devotees receive gifts from others. This giving of gifts is actually, people do this in the material world, in the day-to-day life. But when devotees do it, it brings a sense of, what we say, devotees come together. Not so much because of the gift, but because of the sentiment of the exchange of that loving gift. I remember one time, it was here in London, one of the devotees here had given me a beautiful picture of Lord Nisringadev and Sridham Mayapur. It was one of my favorite pictures because the picture was somewhat darkened, but around Lord Nisringadev had all these lights and such a, like, almost like a garland of lights, and the picture looked really mystical. And I was thinking, this is such a wonderful picture. And one day I was looking for the picture after having it for a couple of years, and I couldn't find it. I was looking all over, I couldn't find it. I was searching all my books and everything, couldn't find it. I was thinking, oh, I lost that picture. It was one of my favorite pictures. And then one day, after a few years later, I just picked up one of my books from my library, and I was looking, and there the picture was in the book. I was so happy to find a picture. But I immediately remembered the devotee who gave me the picture. And I was thinking, thank you. So that exchange that happened like so many years ago was again being relived simply by seeing the gift. So devotees do that. We give gifts to each other, not simply to give a gift, but to give our love in the form of a gift and to receive gifts also. And to speak confidential thoughts. Sometimes we speak about our struggles in Krishna consciousness, our experiences in Krishna consciousness. But another feature of that exchange is to speak about the glories of the Lord to others. This is one of the greatest gifts that we can give to others, to remind another person of their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada uses a very, very simple analogy. He says, a young man, he leaves home. He's a rich person. He's born in a very wealthy family. His family is very prestigious. He has everything he ever wants materially, but he goes and leaves it all and just simply lives as a vagabond. And he's not eating from day to day. He's struggling to live. He's traveling different places. He's experiencing hardships. So he's not happy. So someone comes to him and says, you know, your parents are really rich. Just go home and live with them. Why are you living like this? They remind him of his good fortune. And so this is preaching. We're reminding everybody where their happiness is, where their satisfaction is, and where the fulfillment of all desires are. We want to fulfill certain desires, and we try to fulfill those desires sometimes. But when we please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, and Krishna wants to reciprocate somehow, and Krishna is very good at reciprocating. Prabhupada used to say, what can you give with Krishna in two hands that he can hold in ten? And what can you hold in two hands that he's giving you in ten? And then he probably used the other way. What can you keep in two hands that he's taking away in ten? So, of course, that's not our favorite part. But anyway. But the point is, Krishna always reciprocates way beyond whatever we can offer. Of course, we don't serve the Lord with some motivation. But that's the nature of the Supreme Lord. He's so appreciated. And even if a devotee is serving simply to please the Lord is thinking how to please the devotee. He knows how to please the devotee. So sometimes when people are struggling, we just say, just try to satisfy the Lord in devotional service. Just chant your rounds nicely. Just develop nice relationships with us. All your problems will go away by focusing on the essence. We may make a little effort in our lives to somehow arrange things in such a way as to fulfill our needs. But those efforts should be, what we say, very, very small part of our time. Our main thing is how to please the Lord. By pleasing the Lord, and what pleases the Lord? To chant his glories, to distribute his glories, to hear about his glories, to hear about the glories of the Lord, to chant the glories of the Lord. This is Ram Navami. So it's a wonderful day for becoming packed up, filled up, absorbed. But what about tomorrow? And the next day. So carry that mood. And when you meet someone, just tell them about Ram. Tell them about Krishna. Tell them about the glories of chanting the holy names. And again, we relive that experience each time. Because each time, in material life, when you do something, it's nice at the beginning. That's the nature of anything material. And at the beginning, it's got some flavor, got some, what we say, excitement. But after a while, time makes it dull or boring, and you want to look for something different. But in spiritual life, in spiritual, what we say, activities, whatever we do gets nicer each time. Sometimes we say, this is the nicest prasadam I ever had. This is the nicest kirtan I had. This is the nicest lecture I hear. And each time it becomes nicer. Why? Because Krishna's Nabhanyovada. It's always sweet. It never loses its taste. That's why Hanuman, he can hear the Ramayana over and over again and never get tired. In fact, his heart is pained to hear about the unhappiness that goes on in the separation of Sita and Ram. But he, at the same time, he's enjoying transcendental happiness in his heart. I'll end with one story. I know it's getting late. Krishna was in Dwarka. And he said to Garuda, Garuda, go to Ayodhya and call Hanuman and tell him Krishna wants to see him. So Garuda, he's fast, starts flying. His wings are the Samavedas. He arrives in Ayodhya, and Hanuman is doing puja to his deity of Ram, and he's absorbed. So Garuda wants to deliver the message. He says, Hanuman, Krishna's in Dwarka, and he wants to see you right away. Please come. You can even jump on my back, and I'll take you there. No, Hanuman doesn't even pay attention, doesn't even hear anything. Garuda's thinking, he's not responding, so I should become more persistent. He keeps trying. Finally, Hanuman gets angry and hits Garuda with his tail. He's got a big tail. And Garuda goes flying back. He didn't even have to fly. He just wound up back in Dwarka. And he said, you know, why'd you give me this service? And Krishna said, oh, okay, now you go again. And you tell him Ram's in Dwarka. So Krishna took the form of Ram. And then he said to Satyabhama, you become Sita. And she said, no. She can do that. There's not too many queens that can say no to Krishna and just get away with it. She has that mood. And Krishna likes it. So then he went to Rukmini and she agreed. And then he said to Balaram, you become Lakshman. So they were there. And this time Garuda went again, and Hanuma was still absorbed. And this time he said, Ram is in Dwarka. Garuda looked around and Hanuma was gone. Where did he go? And then he went back, and then her Hanuman was already there at the lotus feet of Ram, Sita, Ram, and Lakshman in Dwarka. So he knows on in any nothing but Sri Ram. He's absorbed in that. So this is what it means to become Krishna conscious, Ram conscious, and we say spiritual consciousness is keep our consciousness absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a beautiful verse. This verse kind of shocks people when you hear it. And I also think about it when I chant this verse sometime. It says that what is it? To forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for one moment, that is the greatest loss, that is the greatest illusion, that is the greatest anomaly. It's spoken by the, it's in the Padma Purana. So to forget the Lord is the greatest loss. Sometimes we think if I lose our money, I lose our, you know, our position in society or our job or something, that's bad. But these things come and go. To forget God means to be in the illusionary energy. And then to be in the illusionary energy means that one can at any moment be captured by Maya. So that is though, that's why the Lord appears on this planet. That's one of the reasons, is to help us become absorbed in his transcendental pastimes. And by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, and when we hear, we become inspired to chant. When we chant the pastimes of the Lord, or the glories of the Lord's holy name, and then we remember the Lord. And that is the perfection of devotional service, to always remember Krishna. As Krishna says in the Gita, two times he mentions it, always remember me. That's the essence of devotional service. So today, it's so sweet to remember Ram. His pastimes, his qualities. Sometimes people say, of course none of you will say this, but sometimes people say, you know, Krishna, he's nice, but Ram, he's great. Because when Krishna says something, you never know if he's going to do it or not. He said, I'm not going to fight on the battlefield. He fought. He said, I'm coming back to Vrindavan. Stayed away for a long time. You know, he's a little tricky. But Ram is righteous. What he says, he gives his word, even if it appears to be a reversal in his plans, he keeps his word. So people like Ram. But everyone likes Krishna too, but he's a little harder to understand. So Ram is, I mean, if you use a word for Ram, the one word we say, he is righteous. Righteous in his chastity towards his parents, towards his duty as a husband, towards his word to the sages, towards his rule in the kingdom. He is the ideal example of righteousness. So thank you very much for all participating in this wonderful Ram celebration, Ram Domi, celebrated all over the world. And even in many other countries, they also celebrate, but using different names. The Ramayana is not only known in India, but in many other countries in the Southeast Asia part of the world. So it's such a glorious, wonderful pastime to hear it over and over again, to speak it, to become absorbed in it. This is the perfection of our life. Thank you very much. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Ram Naomi Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Prabhu Hare Krishna.
Holiness Chandramani Maharaj Ki Jai.